Okay, we're live again. Cut.
Live again. Cut. Three, two, one.
I don't know why I'm laughing. I do know why I'm laughing. Like, I'm trying to remember, like, a scene from a movie where it's like every time something, cut.
Yeah. The 100th take. Right.
Take 100.
Take 150.
Okay, now, you're a giraffe. In the scene, okay? So kind of like pretend that your neck is sticking above the trees.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Today's topic is success.
Success. Well, since I'm the only one who submitted a meme, I hope I got.
Oh, you submitted a meme?
The cover. No,
just
kidding.
You will. Yeah, you're the only one who submitted a meme, so we'll use yours as the cover.
Okay.
Oh, now, whew. I'm sure glad we got that part covered.
Oh, yeah. I was worried sick right? about it. I mean,
forget the other 59 minutes of content that we need to provide for the audience. We got a meme for the cover of our page.
Yes. Well, it's Yoda. I mean, it's pretty important.
That'll draw them all in.
Yeah. Anything Star Wars. target audience.
So the topic of success, this is my personal opinion about it. But, you know, again, that's something I want to say about the podcast, too. It's like, I'm not coming here to tell somebody what something is. I want to come here and, like, talk about something and hear what people have to say about it.
Yes.
You know, and not from, like, a authoritative viewpoint. Like, this is what success is. It's like, no.
Not dogma.
I don't know what the real meaning of success is, but you know, let's talk about it and see if we can share some ideas and thoughts or whatever. And so,
yeah, we're definitely not the
if you're looking for a guru on it, yeah, if you're looking for a guru on a mountain, you picked the wrong mountain,
right? We're just all normal people, right. Just we're talking down here about in the valley, different subjects.
We're like a bunch of goats down the valley, just butting each other's heads,
yeah, just talking about everyday situations and things that happen and big topics.
So with the case of success, I think it's kind of like, it's like an enigmatic type thing, right? What is success? I think success has to be something that's personally defined for the individual.
I agree.
I also think that success is something that, what was that? I just lost my train of thought. It's just personally defined by the individual. Oh, and it's also, success is also something that should be based on a milestone. It's not like an overall thing. It's not like, oh, I've reached success, right? It's not like success is the end all be all, at least not outside of spiritual, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And even in the case of spiritual, you know, after we've spent our life in this world, I was thinking about Paul and how he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. Yes. There's now therefore laid up for me a crown in heaven. So that's an end goal, success, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is a milestone, but it's based on, you know, conditions that we don't always control as far as like when we're done, but to always be ready for that event. But in general, in life, it's like the journey is more important than the end goal. But that's what we're here to talk about, is success.
So in other words, the journey is better than the end of it.
Well, I think it's more important that you are constantly improving and constantly growing is more important than, you know, like saying I finally met success or something. Go ahead.
Right. So like the journey makes once you get to the milestone, the destination, whatever, it makes it that much more richer of an experience to experience, more of a richer thing to experience, you know.
Yeah.
You know, once you've reached a goal, you appreciate all the things that you've gone through, the hardships or whatever, the perseverance, the things you had to push through to reach that goal. It makes it more, you'll become more appreciative, and it makes it more worthwhile that you did what you did, or that you accomplished what you accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's value in accomplishing the goal.
Of course, yes.
But I kind of understand what you're saying, is that, you know, the journey, that there's joy in the journey, and that there's value in the journey.
Yes.
But I'm kind of thinking more along the lines of building a life. When you're building a life, that some people, they think that they're racing towards this success, this idea of success, instead of spending time developing themselves, right? And yeah. So, like, if the goal is to be rich, and you reach the goal, you say that's what I want to do is be rich. It's not about, and I'm kind of blabbering now, and I apologize because I'm having a hard time articulating this, that it's more important to develop yourself in a person who can become rich than it is to become rich. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Developing the qualities needed to become rich, is that what you're saying? So persistent, a hard work ethic.
Especially with like a goal that's kind of like broad. A goal that's like a wide goal. If you were to say, I'm going to, you know, get $1 million.
Yeah.
Then you have a specific number, and you're working towards that number, mm-hmm. right? Instead of saying, I'm going to be a person who, I don't know, is better with wealth or whatever. And so, or can make wealth, or has the skills and the ability to make wealth.
Right.
That developing yourself as a person who can make wealth would be the more appropriate path to take, instead of like the number. I don't know. Like I said, I'm open to hearing people talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I think
crickets.
Well, like you said, I think success just depends, like, it has to be defined by an individual.
Uh-huh.
And so that just goes back to everybody has different, not priorities, but qualities or different things that they mm-hmm. prioritize in their life.
Yeah, no, so, I can see that.
So
right.
The success, it's based on individuals, and it's just based on how people are so different. Because some people will think that, like, just a mundane thing for somebody else,
mm-hmm.
for them it's like the pinnacle of success.
Hmm.
Like, you know, the world tells women that they need to be like these career monsters and like climb the corporate ladder and be like these big bosses. And only then will you achieve like that peak happiness, mm-hmm. like I made it. But then there's women that are just like totally content with being like wives and moms and never having to even work mm-hmm. or do anything like that. And that's not to say one is better than the other, like to each their own. But again, it's just mm-hmm. a different in what people think is success. So it just depends on the person.
So you brought up, so there are societal
norms
and the expectations of success.
Yeah.
There are cultural expectations of success. So like, in some cultures, like Asian cultures, you know, to them success would be, especially if they're like immigrants, would be that they would want their, you know, their children or whatnot, after they have sacrificed all for them to get here and mm-hmm. to put them through school and stuff, the expectation would be for them to be successful, to perhaps maybe a doctor, a lawyer, to try to attain to those kind of high money-making positions mm-hmm. So that in turn they could turn around and take care of, you know, their family and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one sort of view of success,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then, of course, there are societal pressures, you know. As you mentioned, you know, the woman, you know, she can have the career, have the family, have it all,
yeah.
and do it all,
mm-hmm.
and be successful, when, you know, what we need, okay, not to be, but
go ahead.
And it's interesting. But I guess, you know, if a person attains all those things, you know, mm-hmm. and they've attained what society says is success, once they get to that point, are they happy with that quote success that they've gotten mm-hmm. or have attained and stuff like that? And you see people who are successful in all kinds of fields and stuff, and mm-hmm. once they got to that position of success, some of them, a lot of them, are not happy.
Right, yeah.
So we'll take for instance the example of someone who immigrates to the U.S., mm-hmm. right? From a culture or a society that is nowhere near as financially prosperous as people who are in this country or have as many opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So for someone like that, just to make it here is a goal, mm-hmm. right? And to them, you know, hey, if I come from this other country where I didn't have an opportunity for education and I didn't have an opportunity to make a whole lot of money, but I had the ability to get to this other country and raise children in that environment, to them, that's, you know, like, it's what I'm kind of trying to say is, it's like from where they're at to where they got to, and now the fact that they're starting with their children, because their children didn't start off in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Their goal was to get to a place where they could have children in an environment that had way more opportunities than they did.
Correct.
Now, yeah, of course, there is some greed in that. There was where they're like, hey, you go become a doctor, you bet you're going to be sending me money, right? Because I brought you over to this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's part of a cultural thing where you it used to be, and you see that a lot here, but in other countries and other cultures,
yeah.
there's an expectation, because there's the appreciation for the extended family, so there's the expectation that you,
yeah.
you know, that the younger would take care of the older
uh-huh.
members of the family,
yeah,
mom
like
and dad and stuff
Asians,
like that.
Asians, they really believe in that. I've had a lot of yes. Asian friends, and they value, like, the grandparents and
yes.
the parents. It's not like, quote-unquote, American culture. It's completely, westernized culture is not the same. They value
right.
very much, and they hold in high, high, high esteem the elderly and the older of their family, and they'll do anything. I mean, they'll give them the shirt off their back. So,
yes. Yeah, you see that. You see
two different values.
You see that in a lot of Asiatic countries.
Yeah.
You see that in, like, Central, South America. There's also that kind of attitude throughout Africa. It's just usually, you don't really see a lot of that in the Western world,
yeah.
per se.
I know, like, Pacific Islanders, Samoans,
yes,
and Hawaiians.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same.
It's
yeah.
interesting because you see a demographic decline in the West. So, with a lack of appreciation for, you know, family, and
yeah.
Strong, heavily individualistic, selfish, self-centered attitude that you find in the West, but.
Yeah,
but we'll go back to the concept of success. So those people who come from a different strata of wealth and opportunity, for them, it's success just to get here and raise children in this environment,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, would it be safe to say that success can not only be measured by the heights that you gain, but it can also be measured by where you started?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So success isn't necessarily, you know, where you end up at the end, but how far did you get from where you started?
Of course.
Right.
Because some people have a longer journey than others.
Right.
Like with these people who are coming over from other countries that don't have this wealth and opportunity, for them, you know, the journey started way below, and now they're here and they want other people to be on that platform, their children to be on that new platform to where
right.
they can go. And so they're encouraged way more than people who, you know, are used to being in this environment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore they're encouraged way more. That's why the parents are a lot stricter and harder on the children.
Yes.
Because they came from another environment where It was like, hey, I purposely came here so that you could take advantage of these opportunities.
That's correct.
And therefore, I'm going to enforce that you, you know, succeed, quote, quote, unquote, right?
Well, I'm going to give you every opportunity, whether you want or not, to succeed.
Every opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your opportunities are not opportunities, they're enforcement.
Well, and you know, that you know, they should thank God for that, you know. Instead of, I mean, that's a way of showing love and concern for your.
Yeah, but think of it this way. When you're a kid and you're growing up, and say, for instance, you have parents that came from that impoverished society and they're demanding so much from you. But when you're in school, you're surrounded by a bunch of people whose parents didn't come from that and aren't quite as concerned. And therefore, you know, a lot of those kids feel like they're the odd man out.
Right.
Right. And they're like, I'm being treated harshly, you know, in comparison to my peers.
To a certain extent, I can relate to that. I can understand that, you know.
Yeah. There could be like some perceived animosity towards how they're being treated in light of, you know, their peers.
But kids, you know, they have a limited understanding. They've only lived so much and so long. So they have only a limited amount of understanding when it comes to those things. Some things, as you get older, you realize just don't matter.
Right.
You know,
so true.
Some things don't matter. Some people's opinion don't matter.
Yeah.
So, especially if you're wanting to, you know, better yourself and you have a goal in mind that you want to achieve something, you know, there's always going to be the naysayers and there's always going to be distractions. There's always going to be those things that even within you that will conflict with what you want to do, you know, but you got to learn to push those aside.
I think most
and realize and see it for what they are. Some things matter, some things do matter.
Right. I think most successful people, especially if you look at like sports, like anybody, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, they all have one thing in common. It was a self-driven desire to be the best.
Right.
When you look at them, I mean, of course they had decent parents, like whatever, but it wasn't that. They said, I'm going to be the best. Like, and they were willing to do whatever it took.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And anybody, I mean, if you look at football players, I don't really know that many, but anyway, anybody who has any sort of name, it all comes from the same place. It's self. It wasn't from a pressure from the outside.
Right.
It was self-driven. Like Tom Brady, he always talks about self-motivation. I make myself do it.
Right.
I make myself. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm. The soccer player.
Yeah. The best to ever do it. Arguably the greatest of all time. Continuously talks about, it's not fun going to the gym. Right. It's not fun getting to eat the way I want. It's not fun working out 8-10 hours a day.
Right.
But he said, I did it because I wanted to be in the best. He made up his mind when he was a little kid.
Right.
After his first soccer camp that he went to, that his dad sent him to, he was like, man, I'm good at this. And you know what? I'm going to be the best football player that there ever was.
Yeah.
And he really did it.
What is that saying? If it is to be, it is up to me.
Oh, that's so good. I've never heard that before.
You
know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. But I want to also like bring up kind of like some underlying stuff that maybe we don't look at all the time. Take, for instance, you personally, Jennifer, you looked at those people and you just automatically said they're successful, right? You said they're successful. You just acknowledged that they're successful.
By the metrics of how society judges, yes, they're
okay,
all successful.
Okay, that's what I'm driving at. It's
by their actions and what they've accomplished. You can
their
say
accomplishments.
Their accomplishments and what they've achieved. You can say, okay, they're successful.
Okay, so
I'm gonna success.
First off, that's part of the question. Can you measure success? Now, with the case of these people who are in professional sports, which is kind of most of the people you were talking about, right?
Yeah, but
so,
I mean,
hold
I
on.
Could be in billionaires or
yeah,
whatever.
Well,
Elon Musk.
I can use those examples also. Every single one of those instances, they're all publicly known, right? They're publicly, you know, aggrandized. They're publicly shown. You know, you have them constantly, you know, in your face, basically. Mm-hmm. Right. If say, for instance, and I know this is a silly example, okay, but say, for instance, there's a guy out there who's the best at collecting trash, you know, putting it in the garbage machine or whatever. Right. This person is the best garbage collector. Right. No one's ever going to know about that guy. He may follow all of the same, you know, advice, like, you know, I worked hard at it every day. You know, I did everything that was necessary to be the best at it. But no one will ever consider that person a success because they're never going to be on TV. They're never going to be in front of millions and millions of people. They're never going to be applauded publicly, right? Maybe they might get a recognition certificate from their boss, you know, and maybe a Rolex watch it when they retire or whatever, right? If at the most, right? I mean, this is like the pinnacle of whatever it is.
So what are you trying to say?
The point of what I'm trying to say is that we are right now, you know, acknowledging that success has to be something that's publicly known.
No.
That's not true.
That's not true.
I just said that it depends on each person. And it's a societal thing that those things are on TV because people watch sports.
Uh-huh.
But if there was no TV, that wouldn't take away from Cristiano Ronaldo playing anybody and being able to beat him.
Right.
Like, yeah, but we would never know.
That doesn't mean that he's not a success.
That doesn't mean that he's not successful. I don't know.
That's okay, well, what about the trash man? Is he successful?
If he views his what he does as a success, if he's good at what he's done and he, you know, he's perfected, gone as far as he can with that, and he, you know, if in his mind he's successful, then that's and that's what he wanted to achieve, and he achieved that, then that's a success. Not every success has to be, you know, shown and trumpeted through the highways and byways.
Right.
I think very rarely are the real success stories really publicly shown.
See, that's an interesting point because that's kind of what I'm driving at, is that if there is another form of real success out there, and there are ways to achieve it or whatever, how are people ever going to know if it's not, like, you know, if it's not publicized, right?
Well, that comes back to the whole thing. It depends on the person.
So, but the man it also wakes up, depends. It also depends on the social atmosphere.
That's not. I don't think that's true. I think if a man wakes up and he says, whatever job he's chosen, let's say he chose to be like a family doctor,
okay,
and he goes, I'm going to be the best at this job, and he has constant patients love him,
right,
and he's content with his life, that man is rich, successful. Not rich in material things. Mm-hmm. I'm saying rich because he's happy. No, and if he has a good wife and children, he takes care of them, and he has his house set up the way he wants, and he has the job that he wants in the profession, and he's happy in it, then that man is just as successful as somebody else who's on TV,
I'm not saying they're not successful. I agree with you. I agree that they are successful. What I'm bringing out is that there's a cultural norm in our society that automatically knee-jerks for examples from a particular arena of knowledge and stuff. So when our children grow up and we're showing them about success and we're teaching them about success, what are the stories that we go to? Well, look at this guy in baseball and look at this guy on, you know, on TV, and look at Taylor Swift and look at this person and that person.
Well, I think the first example kids should have if,
better heroes.
When they talk about views of success, kids should have their heroes, their, like, what they look to for success should be their parents. Should be first.
100%.
Should be first and foremost their parents.
Actually, 1,000%. Every little girl should be able to look at their mom and be like, I want to be like my mom.
So okay. I grew up in a single you know, parent home. My mom, you know, my mom, dad, unfortunately, mm-hmm. they split when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I was younger.
Right.
And I saw, well, looking back on it, I could see what my mom went through, you know, to put a roof over our head.
Right.
To raise us and everything like uh-huh. that. And I look back on that and, you know, the drive that, you know, with her personal issues, she was able to push through that and reach, you know, heights of success for her. And I look back on that, and as an adult, that has inspired me and helped me to be more in certain situations to strive to be more and to do mm-hmm. more. And it has a sense of inspiration to me. Mm-hmm. So she's, and I've told her this before, that she's my hero, so mm-hmm. to speak, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
Beautiful.
Right.
And I think it doesn't always pan out that way. You know, not all families are good or whatever. But I think kids should see their parents as their heroes, and look to them as the guide to success. So that means that parents should be knowledgeable of that, you know, and set that example for their kids.
Okay.
Unfortunately, some do, but yeah. I think more do than don't. So
yeah.
At least I'm hopeful in that. You know?
mm-hmm. Right. So.
And I think when I was pointing out like this, the stars and all I was saying is their work ethic ended in success, and the work uh-huh. ethic of the average person, no matter what you put your hand to,
yeah,
if you want to be the best in whatever you're doing, with or without fame, irregardless, my right. point was the earth work ethic.
Yes.
I agree with
self-driven.
Yeah.
You know, they drove themselves to be
right.
the best.
Yes. I understand that.
Like, if you want to be the best housewife,
yeah,
you are doing cookbooks. You're watching video. I'm not even joking. You're gardening. There is so much to do to be a housewife, to be a good one.
Yeah.
If you want to be the best, you right. can be the best, but it takes a lot of work. Okay, but for me,
yeah.
if I became the best at that for my life,
yeah,
that's success for me.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes.
No, so I'm not critiquing. Just bear with me here. I'm not critiquing the fact that you used, you know, sports figures to illustrate success.
Oh, for sure. I was just
what I am saying is this, that it should be, we should hopefully be clearly, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Like, we should know that when we use these people as an example of success, that the only reason we're doing it is because they're so publicly known. And because when you're dealing with people who are trying to define success for themselves, children, right? Mm-hmm. And we constantly reinforce, well, here's an example of success, Kobe Bryant or whatever, whoever, some basketball player, football
yeah.
player.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people, they may be really good at what they do as far as sports or music or whatever, but they're not great people. They're not great examples of people, right? A lot of them are not. And so they're poor heroes. And I feel like we have this, you know, it's almost like we're forced to use these people as examples of success. And yeah. it's sad because they're not great successes in a large range of stuff.
I think we're just talking about two different things. So.
Well, that's why I'm trying to talk about success. I'm just trying to kind of like explode the subject, you know, kind of like yeah. explore, you know, why do we call certain things success? What is success? You know, from a Christian perspective, I talked about Paul and his version of success, right?
The definition of success is going to vary upon individual. So you can't really, I mean, you can't. We cannot sit here and put a metric on success
because
uh-huh. there's no way that we can speak for
everybody.
How many people are on the planet?
It's 8 billion.
8 billion people.
Something like that.
There's
7
just
or
no
8
way.
Billion.
So.
Well, here's a quote from Thomas Merton.
Yeah.
He said, "People may spend their whole lives climbing the ladder of success, only to find once they reach the top, that ladder is leaning against the wrong wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that before. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
So that speaks to chasing that dream of success and chasing what they think was success and only to get there and realize,
I don't really like it here to begin with. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or this is disappointing. Or
Joe Rogan had the best take on that.
Yeah. Let's hear it. So you were saying about Joe Rogan?
Oh, Joe Rogan. Yeah. Okay. He got this apartment, this loft, whatever. It was super nice. He had it all decked out because he had money. And anyways, after the high wore off, he went back one night and he was just like, this is it. This is what I worked so hard for. And he was just like disappointed. And then he was like, what I figured out was this feeling of home is just wherever you are. Like, it doesn't matter what building you're in or where you're at. And he was living in a super dope place, but he was like, it was no different than my crappy place that I had with my parents. So he just said that basically all that stuff, all the money, all the stuff in there amounted to zero because it didn't get him anywhere.
Yeah.
Didn't make him feel special or anything. He was just like, home is just where you're dwelling. And he was like, what an epiphany.
Yeah, but he would have never learned that lesson unless he had achieved that.
Right. Yep.
So he still had to achieve it to learn the lesson that it wasn't valuable to him.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. So now he, like, that lesson has stayed with him.
Yeah, but even so, for other people, you may have to say the same thing. You may have to attain to something that you think you're supposed to attain to just so you can realize that you don't want to attain that.
There's a lot of dissatisfied. Well, I've seen that's like a new trend of the dissatisfied women who went the career route.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they're older and they have no husband or children.
It's because they've been lied to.
And they're super bummed out. And it's really sad. My heart goes out to them.
Yeah.
Because they're like, man, if I could do it over again, I would have married that guy that I loved. Would have had kids. And I mean, you know, your heart goes out to people. Because when you're living life, like, if you don't have God, you're just running down the track, man. They've ended up in a spot where they feel cheated. And that's really sad. Because nothing, no matter what, at the end of the day, nothing can give time back.
Right.
Time is so valuable. Like, so precious, especially in the pursuit of success, quote unquote. Time is irreplaceable, and it goes by so fast.
So, and like both of you talked about, you know, Sean said the ladder against the wrong wall. You said the illustration of Joe Rogan getting this great pad and finding out it wasn't what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They spent time chasing that goal. They spent effort, energy, and time, most importantly time, chasing that goal.
Yeah.
And it didn't do them any good.
Yep.
So what does that have to say about success?
Perhaps you have...
Because we were talking before about the fact that success is something that's personally defined.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Are we the best judges of what's successful for us?
No. And just being a Christian, that it always comes back to the Word of God. For me, like, when I, let's say I spend any time thinking about my life or where I am, the metrics I use and where I am is always biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how am I doing as a person? How am I as a wife? How am I as a mom? Yeah. How am I as a church attendee? Like, you know.
Sure, yeah.
It all goes back to the Word of God. And I'm like, oh, and then you open up James and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Lord, why?
Room for improvement, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Just when you think you've made it, just go to the book of James.
I'm reminded of the encounter that Jesus had with the rich young ruler. He had it all put together as far as the world was concerned.
Right.
And one of the things that always leaps out at me when I read that portion of scripture, and it's just kind of, it's like a little tiny insight that if you weren't paying attention, you just breeze over when you were reading it. And it's like, why is it there? And that is that it was that the writer was very, very specific in saying Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus had compassion on him. He cared about him enough to know that this man was so deluded by his idea of success that it was going to destroy him, and there was pretty much nothing Jesus could do to help the man.
Yeah.
And he tried, and he cared, but he still knew that those riches had consumed him, and that power had consumed him, you know. And then he, you know, later on he goes, he teaches the disciples, he said, how hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Mm-hmm. It's easier for a camel to go through that little tiny door in the wall and have to stoop down, humble itself, unload itself,
scoot
through this little tiny hole to get into the city.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that humbling, that degrading yourself and getting down in the ground and crawling, begging, pleading sort of to get in, it's just too much for somebody who, you know, I'm not going to get in the dirt. I'm not going to dirty my clothes.
But we see that all the time in scripture, the whole, what's the word for that? You know, if you're humble yourself, humble yourself, you'll be abased, you'll be exalted.
Yep.
And those that exalt themselves will be abased.
Yeah.
You know, you see a lot of that reinforced in scripture.
Right,
you know?
The imagery.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He says, you know that the leaders of Rome, they rule by power and force. He said, but your leaders won't be that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Your leaders will be leaders of compassion and servitude.
Mm-hmm. It's a very common theme in the Bible. That's so true. And also just the compassion of Christ. It says it so many times when you read the Gospels. Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus had compassion on
the multitude.
Jesus had compassion. It was like, he was a very compassionate person.
Yes.
That's what a beautiful thing they tried to stop.
The disciples tried to stop him from healing people, and they couldn't stop him. Even in the late hours of the day, he like just kept going,
right,
healing people. But we're talking about success, you know, and we're talking about, you know, we're trying to explore this concept of success, right, and trying to explore what does it mean and how do we get to the place where we have the proper the proper vision of success, or the proper understanding of what should be successful.
Yeah.
And what did the Bible say? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Well, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that, you know, some of the people who listen to us may not be Christians, and we implore people to accept Christ. But with that being said, how people determine what success is, what people do to achieve success, right?
Yeah.
How much effort they put forward. I know one thing I was thinking about was somebody had told me this before, and I have this habit of starting a lot of things but never finishing things.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
Follow through.
Mm-hmm. Right. So some people come to my house. I remember something Pastor Davis used to say about people who had a lot of bookshelves, right? He's like, oh, you got these bookshelves so that people can see all these books that you've read. Just so that you know, I've not read all these books, okay? I've not. Some of them have been given to me. Some of them I bought.
Right.
I've read some of them, very few of them, not many. But I've started a lot of books. I've started a lot of books.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got like three or four books that are like started and never finished.
Yeah.
And that there's a need for that follow through. There's a need for that, you know, to get something done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what is that something that should be done? And what are the steps that are needed to be taken to get that done? And how can we condition ourselves to get it done?
And that's what I was talking about, that internal drive.
Okay.
Like you set a goal.
Yeah.
No matter what, come rain, sun, wind, storm, you're going to do it.
Okay.
And you have to be able, you have to have it within yourself to be disciplined enough to do something. If you don't,
there's that dangerous word, discipline. Yeah.
Well, that's what it takes. I mean, listen, when you're little kids and if you were raised with your parents or whoever raised you, and they told you to do something, not so much now, but back when I was raised, you had to do it. Whether you didn't talk back, you just said, okay, and went and did it. And that discipline, and that was shaping our character to say, I've got to do whatever I'm told to do. And so when you tell yourself, look, like, look, lady, you're going to get up and you're going to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. You have to have the discipline to tell yourself you're going to do or not do whatever it is that you're talking about.
You have to have the discipline to follow through and to remain consistent.
Consistency.
In what you set your mind to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, like, that's one of the things I'm really excited about. You know, like this podcast that we've started is that, you know, I have been, you know, that a month ago there was some hiccups in people's schedules, right? And I just could not for the life of me get a co-host on, right? And I said, you know, I wanted to do this twice a week. Wednesdays and Saturdays was the hope of having that consistency. And in that period, I started reaching out to other people so that I had, you know, this opportunity where if someone couldn't make it, there was somebody here, right? In, because I don't feel that the show could really be done without co-hosts. And so we've been doing this, what, 22, 23 episodes now, right?
Yeah.
And the things that I've learned just by the consistency, not necessarily consistently right, just consistently, right? Just coming together and doing this and just exploring what we're doing and being, you know, having it get done, just doing it and having it get done no matter what the outcome is, it has so much value and you don't really realize it. And it's more important to just go in and do something on a regular schedule than it is to do something really nice and really, you know, quality, right? It's more important to do, like I watched that one video that that guy had where it was more, he showed that it was more important to be 70% correct on regular basis than it was to be 90% correct in a rare occasion. It was more important to produce 70% quality regularly than it was to produce 85, 90% quality one time.
Right.
That perfectionist attitude has to be put aside to a certain degree, and you have to just do it, because in the doing of the task, you start recognizing things. You start recognizing, you know, okay, I can make this better, or I could do this better, or, you know,
just gaining experience.
Gain experience. So, like, things look what happened to us 20 minutes ago, right? Where my phone goes off and it causes us to restart the podcast, you know, and blows up everything that we're doing. And then there's that tension and that anxiety, and oh, look at the failure, whatever. But we just had to pick back up and keep running with it, right? And we need that.
Yes.
We need that, but the only way that that's going to come is through that consistently doing it. All, you know, always, you know, persevering through, like you said, you know, I know this is true, although it would be highly unbelievable looking at me now, but, you know, to be a good runner, you had to get out and run. And you got to run in the rain, and you got to run in the cold, and you got to run what you, you know, that was one of the things I loved about the Army, was you did things no matter what.
Yeah.
I remember showing up in Korea, and it was freezing cold in Korea, and we were standing outside, and I mean, it was cold. It was bitter cold.
It was like cold,
and we were all standing out. Yeah. Cold to the bone type cold. And we were standing out there. And I said, well, man, I've been in the Army for 4 years. I know for sure we're not doing PT in this. We're not doing physical training in this. We're going to go to the gym. And then that instructor came out and he said, extend to your left, which meant we were going to do calisthenics.
And right? You and said, I was like, what?
We're doing calisthenics. And it's like, it had to be at least freezing cold. But the thing about Korea is that it has that biting cold feeling because the humidity is high. Yeah, the humidity is high, and the humidity like transfers that cold to your body
to the core.
Sharply.
Yeah, it's so cold.
And then after that, we formed up and we went on a run. We went on like a 3-4-5 mile run.
Yeah.
And
well, to be clear, you were infantry.
Yeah, but the point I'm trying to make is that we did it anyway.
Yes.
We did it despite the weather. We did it despite the cold. We did it despite everything that was going
all
on.
All the opposition. Like, despite opposition, it had to be done.
It had to be
done.
The
goal was there, and you had to do it, whether you liked it or not.
Like the model of the post office, rain, sleet, snow.
If you
no matter what, we'll lose your parcel. Rain, sleet, snow, whatever. We'll lose that parcel. We'll damage it.
If you have no way to motivate yourself, I just doubt on any metric of success you can achieve it. Like, if you have no self-motivation,
mm-hmm.
no self-drive, it's just how do you even go through a day? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So willpower is part of success.
Duh, for sure. Huge, huge part
of it. Before we go saying duh to people, I'm just saying we're exploring the subject, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're exploring the subject.
Yeah, it's a huge part of it.
Right. I mean, this is something that I'm trying to personally, you know, I don't want to say embrace or whatever, is this fact that I don't know something. Like in a case of success, I think it's such an ambiguous thing.
Yeah,
it's so ambiguous. Earlier, yeah. It's so ethereal. It's just like, how do you define success? What does success mean? Everyone's telling me I need to be successful. And it's like, well, what exactly does that, evaluate
that's,
to?
That's a really good
point. It's interesting when you say that, but however, you know it when you see it, though, sometimes.
I was going to say, you know what's funny is how many books and public speakers there are.
Yes.
And like how many people have profited on this idea
of
and
success.
This word
yes.
Come success.
On. Yeah. Because
they'll slap that on the title of a book. They'll slap it on a tour of them going and talking all
Absolutely.
Around the country and at colleges. You want to be a success?
Yeah.
Ah, come here. It's like a hit word for people. Yeah. And they're like, oh, wait, you have the answer? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll come and pay to hear you.
I'll go one step further. These folks are like snake oil salesmen. They literally are.
True. Yeah.
It's like you go and they got this book. This is how to be successful, and all they really need to do is write. You know, like they could have a 200-page book to sell you, and not 199 pages in there are just blank pages. And on the front of it says, "Write a book about success."
Yeah.
Because that's how I did it. That's how I made success. What a bunch of baloney.
Success for Dummies. That's probably a book.
It is a book. But the deal is that this whole concept of success and this whole idea of success, even though the Bible clearly lays out how we should live our lives and how we should pursue certain things, right? But in the eyes of the world, when we start talking about success, and I am not sharpshooting, specifically you, I'm not sharpshooting you. It's just culturally natural for us to go to these examples of like sports people and stuff like that.
Yep.
And not that they have not disciplined their bodies and not that they hadn't done things to get to where they are. I don't deny that one bit.
Yeah.
But I just, it inside of me, there's this yucky feeling of like, I don't want that person to be my example
of
success.
Well, we're talking two different types of success.
Okay.
Because if we're talking the world success and us existing in the world, then that means what? Money and power.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it is.
Right.
As a human in our world, in society, that's the human experience of success.
Right.
The spiritual side, who was our example for spiritual success? Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So you look to Jesus. What map did he follow to reach peak success?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that would be, what did he say? I came to do the will of my Father.
Right. Yes.
Him who sent me. So he obeyed every command of the Father.
Yeah.
Every detail of his life was constrained,
mm-hmm.
held back
yep.
from self-will,
uh-huh.
all the father.
Yep.
Spiritual success and human success. Mm-hmm. Two entirely different.
Yeah. Arenas. Yeah. Just
two. Yeah. You're talking to two different kinds of people.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's just like with anything else. I mean, once you're a Christian, everything changes.
But one of the verses that popped up in my mind in reference to that was how the Bible says he learned obedience through
his suffering.
His suffering. Yes. Right, he learned obedience through his suffering, mm-hmm. and it, and like you said, to reach success, I'm kind of gonna try to paraphrase what you're saying. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, mm-hmm. But to reach success, you have to discipline yourself to do the hard things that will get you to where you're going. Right, mm-hmm. And so in the case of Jesus, God taught him success through suffering, through he had through obedience, through suffering, obedience and suffering, mm-hmm. right? I really love this scripture in the first chapter of Romans where he says that God counted him faithful because he was bringing people to the obedience of the faith. Mm. Obedience of the faith. That's like right in the first chapter of Romans. He said that his goal was to bring people into the obedience of the faith. Mm-hmm. And then you go look at that other scripture where it says he learned obedience through suffering. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we look and we say, when we look at suffering, we're like, no way. Keep it away from me, you know, right? Keep your suffering over there. I'm just fine without your suffering.
Yeah.
And yet the reality is that for us to grow in Christ or for anybody to grow in any arena of anything, they have to discipline themselves to go through suffering.
Right. Yes.
They have to discipline themselves to go through suffering.
If you look at anybody that you know that is successful spiritually, so you can talk to your pastor or someone that you look up to that's considered older in the faith. Like for me, it would be like you, Brother McCree. Sorry, name dropped. Anyway, other people that I know.
It's okay. All five of our followers will be like, what? Is that who you guys are?
Yeah. So, you know, you look to them and then you realize, okay, these men and women didn't just plop in front of you in your life and didn't go through nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking years of battles, mm-hmm. years of experience in churches, in soul winning, in just spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. Like struggles that they've had to go through in faith, personal struggles mm-hmm. with other people, relationship struggles. I mean, God knows what has happened, what has transpired. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying the story, just because you arrive in the middle of a chapter,
where does this guy come off telling me what to do?
You didn't get the preface and the context and the book that's been written.
Yeah.
And God wrote their stories. And when, you know, and so we like look at these people and we think, oh, well, they've just got it all together. It's like, no. That is such a cynical view when you look at somebody who's developed spiritually. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, they're not some anomaly. Mm-hmm. Okay. They didn't just wake up and decide,
the silver spoon in their mouth, right?
Guess I'm going to be a saint today. Yeah. You know, it's like, no, they earned their stripes. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Bible tells us to reverence them, because they know what they're talking about. They've walked those roads before, and it's almost like God knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That they needed to suffer that for other people's sake.
Yeah. And so when you look to them, it's like you're literally looking at the workmanship of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when you go through things,
I'm
so inspired about some of the sisters I've met in my mm-hmm. time and just pastors too. And I'm just like, dude, if they can do that, I can get through this.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy that they had to suffer. And I may not know the full extent mm-hmm. of the situations that happened, whatever the circumstances were. But I'm like, okay, if they got through that, I can get through this.
Mm-hmm.
If they can stand, I can stand. They can do it. I can do it.
Yeah.
It's like our lives literally speak. And their successes in faith,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's so deep. Because we just look at the product, but we don't look at everything that has got into the person that you know now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa. You know, if you want to unpack something, that is like deep.
Mm-hmm.
Deep. Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible say that we can go to the Lord because he's an advocate, because He knows the things that we suffer because he's gone through
them.
That's a horrible paraphrase of whatever the Bible verse is. I think it's in Hebrews. That we have not an advocate who is not touched with the infirmities.
We have a high priest. Yes.
We have a high priest.
Yeah, that is. There it is.
Who's not who can be touched with the infirmities of our feelings because he's gone through them.
Yes.
You know, he's been woken up at the bottom of the ship. He's like, can't I get any rest?
Yeah.
You know, isn't there any peace for me?
Yeah.
Nope, not in this life.
Yeah. So spiritual success, I mean, that's on a whole nother. That's a whole nother plane, a whole nother look. And
Is it really, though?
Yes.
I mean, people are willing to put forth so much effort into achieving something when, you know, when you look at that scripture, it said, what shall it profit a man? The reality is that people will pursue whatever they want to pursue, and they'll put forth energy and effort into whatever they want to pursue. And it's not right to not say, you know, when people say, well, I just can't do it. I can't do that Christian thing. You're just asking too much. It's like, wait a minute. You'll do this and you'll do that.
Right.
You know, and God's not going to require you to do anything that you can't do.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you're going to invest where you want to invest. I always think... Go ahead.
Oh, that kind of comes to my mind, though. It's like when that attitude about all the things they have to stop or to change in order to be a Christian, to me, that is so backwards. Because if you fall in love with Jesus, that stuff will just fall away and you won't even care about it. It's like people look at the rules and not the Savior.
Right.
To me, I've never understood that. I'm like, stop looking at what you're going to have to stop doing if you just look at Jesus just listen to him. All that stuff, it just falls away naturally.
Right. Naturally, yes.
Nobody had to tell me to do anything. Mm-hmm. I knew because God. I just made up my mind. Look, I want to go to heaven, so I got to do what I got to do.
But also, look at everything that you gain.
Yeah, and no one ever talks about that.
It's way more than what you may think that you're losing.
Yeah. When you can lay down at night and have total peace... That if you pass away or if the end is tonight, the rapture,
what have you really given up to get to where you're going?
Is that not peak success?
Right.
When you can lay down and you have no stress, like your soul is right before God. And if anything happens and you're separated from your body, you're straight. You're good to go.
Right.
I mean, I don't think there's any price tag
on
that. And just knowing Jesus and being like, I can literally talk to the one who made everything.
Right.
Come on. Like, that is just peak human experience. Like, it's just beyond what you could ever even imagine to me. So I'm like, when people start obsessing, especially newcomers or whatever, and they're like, especially the girls, I'll just say this. I'll take one on the chin about the no makeup and the skirts and, like, jewelry and all that. I'm just like, okay, stop looking at that. And just look at Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because in time, God reveals to you what he wants from you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not people. It's like, don't look to people. Don't ask them what you should and shouldn't be doing. Okay, it's just different when it comes from a pastor. But I'm just saying, if you really make up your mind that you're going to follow Jesus and have a relationship with him, God does the work. And then you're not giving up nothing. You're literally just following your master.
That's interesting because... where people come from coming to the Lord and seeing people who have already been transformed by the Lord to certain degrees, right? Because we're all growing in Christ.
Yes.
And we're all maturing in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone comes in the door, you know, there is that knee-jerk reaction to say, well, these people are so different from me. And hold on with me, bear with me, going back to our initial contact with Christ, you know, Christ makes the difference and God makes the difference. And that, you know, God would help people to a degree make them blind of certain things. Because that has helped me tremendously in my life, is that God had like blinded me to certain requirements. That's why it's so important for us to not be these, you know, judiciaries of new people and what's expected of them in Christ, you know. that we just leave them alone and love them and like just let the Lord do work in their life.
Yeah.
Right. And I know that everyone here in this room does that, you know, but it, you know, to not be so that that doesn't come up in their minds. So that does, you know, so that you're not like trying to do the job of the Holy yeah. Ghost in
over,
in
over the years, lives. I've been asked by multiple different ladies that have come out yeah. and different things over the years, you know, uh-huh. and, I sometimes it depends on how God directs the conversation. I'll mm-hmm. just lay it out in scripture.
Yeah.
And then other times I'm just like, stop. It's like you're putting the cart before the horse.
Right. Yeah.
You have to meet Jesus. You've got to get into relationship
right.
with him.
You're thinking about the wrong stuff, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you're thinking about the physical things. What I think I heard, never mind, I won't name drop, but a big reverend, he said, some women have the longest skirt and the longest hair, but a heart of wickedness.
Yeah.
The physical, right. the outside, yeah. yes, I'm not saying it doesn't matter.
Correct.
But the superficial
yeah.
physical things, that's yeah. after work of the heart. Mm-hmm.
Right.
The physical will reflect the spiritual, your heart, if you just put your heart into Christ. Mm. And then the outward things that you do in the outward show that you have, the presentation that you have of yourself or whatever, how you present yourself, that will follow the work that's being done inside.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so you're going to look like your holiness, but your heart is not with God. So, okay, mm-hmm. well.
Mm, yes.
So the improper way of pursuing success in that. Well, mm-hmm. look at that. We got 60 minutes worth of material, and we could, and we just got warmed up.
We just got
warmed up.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do? I guess we're going to have to...
Tune in next time,
yeah.
Same bat time, same bat channel, and you'll find out whether or not we're still here. Amen.
Amen.